Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Speak to us, O Lord, even in today's lesson, and show us your way that we may know you, especially that we may know your voice. Ah, Lord God Almighty, we pray that that voice will never depart from us. And help us to recognize it amidst all the other voices. And to align ourselves with what the Spirit is saying from time to time. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, lesson number 7 on prophets. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. Now we are in the walking in the prophetic section of this series. First thing I want to remind us of is that from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, the way that the Lord related to the man, instruction by his voice. After that, the man was formed in his image, the Lord spoke something that the man could hear, you know, and let's just read it because it is foundational to this lesson. Because here's how the Lord related with the man. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 26, he unveiled his intention. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of he created him, male and female created them. Now, verse 29. And God blessed them, and God said unto them. So we see the very first act after, you know, forming the man. Of course, we know it was to bless them and give them a, you know, the authority and all of that. But how did he do it? He spoke to them. We're told that God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So do it and have dominion over all the fish of the sea and so forth. You know, so we see that God furthermore said, you know, and gave them instruction. I have given you every herb bearing seed and so forth. To you it shall be for meat. And then he also gave them, you know, instruction even around other spheres of life. He also told the man, you know, here's what you will eat, but concerning every beast of the earth and so on and so forth, you know, I've also given them the herb to eat. And it was so. So not only did God give instruction to the man, what the man would do, gave instruction and knowledge to the man, what others, the other part of his creation, would do. But all of this came by his voice. That's the part that we want to emphasize in Genesis 1. All came by his voice. The same voice that spoke and things came into existence. Whereas for each of the things that God did, we see how it was said. Now we know how he did it. He said, let there be such and such. And it was so. And God looked at it and he liked it. And God showed us his way of creating the world by his word. Well, we call it his word, but it was also in his voice. So we're going to be talking about the voice of his word. That's right. We're going to be talking about that and the voice of the Lord and so on. Now, why is it important for us to hear his voice? Well, first of all, as we see here, because that's the way he communicated with them in the beginning. And, you know, every time we see the so-called law of first mention, we see that that's very important. Well, the law of first mention, to speak here, of how God will communicate with his children. We're told that Adam was the son of God. If you read it in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, it says Adam was the son of God. The way he would communicate would be by speaking to him and by communicating with his voice. So Adam actually learned, you know, that God would always speak to him. God told him one thing, and then told him another thing, and so on and so forth. Give them instructions, you know, what to do, what your role will be, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and what you should not do. All those things came to Adam by God's voice. And that's how he spoke. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament with Jesus coming upon the scene, talking to us about his sheep. Another popular chapter, which many of us know, John chapter 10. Let's look at a few verses there. In the first 5 verses of John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself, you know, as the true shepherd. And that he's the one that comes in through the door. Others may have tried to come in through the window or this and that back door and so on. And that the sheep didn't really hear them. So he described himself as the good shepherd, you know. And that, you know, he's the one that will lead his sheep out. Hallelujah. And that the sheep also will hear his voice. So let's see how Jesus said it. Now, he said that when the shepherd, a true shepherd, you know, when he comes to the sheep, the porter will open the door, the sheep will hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. That's in verse 3 of John chapter 10. Calls them by name and leadeth them out. I didn't even know. You might not know, I know, because we've already heard multiple times that those sheep can be named, you know. So when he putteth forth his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So there's one characteristic that is relevant to this lesson here about this sheep is that they know his voice. Another characteristic is, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So we see that the sheep, you know, they know his voice, and they do not know the voice of strangers. The three important things revealed here. He said the sheep hear his voice. They actually hear it. And they know it. And they follow that voice. And they will not follow the voice of strangers because they don't know the voice. They only follow the voice that they know. When they hear the familiar voice, well, they follow it because they know it. So it is relevant for us to understand the knowing and the hearing, the hearing and the knowing of his voice, of the shepherd's voice. This is very key into our lesson today. Now jump to verse 27 of that same John chapter 10. It said, my sheep hear my voice. So again, we see about the hearing of his voice. And because they hear his voice, they are able to follow him. That's another thing that we notice there. You know, also says, I know them and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life. Well, that's because they follow him. In order for them to follow him, they have to first of all hear his voice. And amidst other voices, they know which one he sees, because stranger try to call them as well, but they won't follow the stranger because they don't know that voice. They will only follow the voice they know. And because they follow him, he said, I give to them. Now, the good shepherd, you know, he said, well, you know, he leads me beside green pastures and so on. Well, the good shepherd will do that. Here's one great characteristic that this particular great shepherd of the sheep will do when they follow him. The green pastures that he will lead them to, actually called eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So one in unity, one in number, one in purpose, and so on. So that's the way, you know, he described his relationship with his sheep. Well, we're going to talk more about that because of this question about his voice. The voice is the way that he communicates with the sheep. The voice is the way by which he leads them. And the voice is the way by which they follow him. No matter what they are doing, grazing or whatever, when they hear that voice, they rally, because now they heard the voice of the shepherd, because they know his voice. They've been around him and they know his voice. Another person may come and call them just by the same way that the shepherd will call them, but they won't follow him because they don't know his voice, you know, and they have a choice to follow all voices or follow the voice that they know. Well, they choose. Jesus says this characteristics is what defines the sheep, my sheep. What defines them is, one, they hear my voice and they know it and they follow me and they flee from strangers. You know, so because they will not follow a stranger. Hallelujah. So that means it's very important for us to not only know his voice, be able to discern it among many other voices that may be out there, you know. Here is there's something that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 14. Remember, we were in that chapter. We didn't dwell too much on this part of it, but I want to call it out now. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 10 and 11, you know, Paul talks about the many kinds of voices out there, all kinds of voices. I mean, there's a voice of this, there's a voice of that, and so forth, you know. And we've talked about this some months ago, about, you know, different kinds of voices too. There is the voice of unbelief. There is the voice of fear. There is the voice of doubt. There is the voice of reason. That one is very subtle. You know, to try to tell you, you know, reason away, you know, what God says, you know, when God says something, you know, the reason will come in there and say a different way. And there are many examples of that in the scriptures. Voice of doubt. God says you can do it. The voice of doubt comes and says you can't walk on water. You know, the voice of unbelief, you know, will come into their heads, and God say we can do it. The voice of fear comes. God spoke to them after the spies came back. The story in Numbers 13 and 14. And the good spies said one thing. The evil spies that had evil in their hearts said a different thing. They said, we can't do it. We can't go up against these people. I mean, these people are giants and we ourselves are like grasshoppers. I mean, although the fruit of the land was good, there's no way we're going to get it because of all these people that are there. They're going to consume us. We can't do it. And they brought fear to the people. So there was all kinds of voices. I mean, there were two voices here that said, we can do it. Let's go up at once. The Lord will give it to us, the place, and give them in our hands. So they are bread for us. Launch, their strength is departed from us. The Lord is with us, and so forth. Well, 10 other voices tried to drown those out and said, no, we cannot do it. You know, we will be destroyed. Let's not even venture it. These people are mightier than us. We can't do it. Well, in the midst of the conflicting voices, which one are the people going to hear? Everybody has a choice which one they're going to hear. It's the same thing that, you know, Paul's talking about today. There's all kinds, you know, we have all kinds of voices. He said there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. 1 Corinthians 14 and 10. And none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, okay, so that's another thing that's coming out here in this lesson. When you hear the voice, you got to understand it. Because just hearing it and not understanding it, in fact, Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied that. He said, these people will hear, but they will not understand. And it's like they hear, but they don't hear. It's like they see, but they don't see. You know, he said, make the hearts of these people gross and fat so that, you know, they will hear, but they won't understand, you know, and they won't be converted, you know. But Jesus talking to his disciples, when he asked him in Matthew 13, he said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, well, because of what Isaiah said, I will open my mouth in parables and so on, so that these people will not understand anything, you know. But then he turned around and said, but for you, it's different. For you, it is given for you to know, to see, to hear, and to understand. So just hearing with our natural ears, it doesn't mean that we would necessarily understand. We can hear, but we may not understand. I mean, how many things is it that we hear that we don't understand? Too much or too many. That's a whole lot of stuff. In fact, if I begin to speak to you today in a language that you don't know, many of you will hear it, but you won't understand it. That's actually what Paul was speaking about in 1 Corinthians 14. But, you know, let's take the concept a little further to just about anything we hear, you know, that we don't understand. It has no meaning. We hear it, you know, but there is really no meaning to it. And Jesus, one time, he was talking, you know, with the Jews, and well, some of the disciples who are mixed in there, but also a lot of Jews. And he said, look, you cannot, you know, hear my word or my speech. And why? You know, he said, it's because you don't even understand anything from me. You're not of God. In John chapter 8, verses 43 to about 47, Jesus made this profound pronunciation. Remember, he also spoke about, you know, those who are of God who hear his voice. But he said, these people can't hear it because they are not of God. So let's read it. John chapter 8, many long discussions that Jesus would have with those people back then. But he said, why, verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? So, you know, he said, even because you cannot hear my word. Now, the hear here is not that physically it's not sounding there. But, you know, there is no meaning. There's just there, someone is speaking, but there's no communication. It's either one, is either the person is not communicating in a language that the hearer might understand, or the hearer is not understanding what they are saying. So Jesus is saying, look, why is it that you can't understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You have your father, the devil, he said. You know, and he said, well, and the loss of your father you will do, because he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. And he's the liar and the father of it. You know, and he began to tell them, you know, and finally in verse 47, he said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now this is, again, this is not just physically hearing the sound of it. The hearing that he's talking about here is actually understanding the meaning of it. You know, you say, well, if you're of God, first of all, you will even enjoy to hear it. I mean, you know, the real people of God always want to hear God's word. You know, even if you're in error, you would love to hear God's word. Even if the word is rebuking, you will still love to hear it. This is how we really know who the seed, the true seed of God are. Because that's what Jesus is saying here. If you are born of God, if you are of God, you will hear God's words. You know, and you'll be able to tell God's words. But sometimes we need some help and we need some training. But those that will not hear his word, that's because they are not of God. They don't want any part of it. And we've seen places in the Bible where people didn't want any part of God's voice. And that didn't turn out very well for them. I keep going back to when God, you know, invited the children of Israel to hear his voice and do his bidding. If you will obey my voice indeed. Well, obey my voice, obey my voice. It was all the things that God used to tell them back then. You know, but they couldn't obey the voice because they couldn't even understand it. You know, so, you know, the instruction that God will give for us to be able to obey, we also have to understand it. You know, but if we are willing to obey it, God will give you the understanding. Some people were not willing to obey. In fact, the general populace back then, they were not even willing, because God said to them, look, you know, if you will obey my voice indeed, Exodus 19 and 5. Now that voice carries his word, and it is the voice by which he communicated it to Adam. It's also the voice by which he wants to communicate it to these people here. And he said, but you've got to obey it, not just hear it. If you obey it and keep my covenant, you know, be a peculiar treasure unto me and so forth. And you'll be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation and all that. But we know what happened eventually. You know, back then, his voice shook. He shook, and it was kind of a thunderous voice when they heard it. The Bible said, look, it wasn't anything at all that they wanted to deal with. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings that came with the presence of God, the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking and so on. I mean, they saw all these phenomena, you know, when Moses went up, you know, to speak with the Lord. And they, Bible said, they removed and stood afar off. They got away from the presence of God. They didn't want any part of it. They said unto Moses, you speak to us and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. You know, and actually Moses, you know, he tried to tell them not to be afraid. But I don't think you know, the people wanted any part of God. And I don't think that Moses tried very hard either. But he said, well, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before you, that you sin not. But the people, you know, stood afar off. They didn't want any part of God. Moses, you know, should have invited them to draw closer. Come on in, come on in. He's not going to kill you. If he wanted to kill you, you'll be dead already. You know, but the people said, no, we don't want to do it. You go do it and come tell it to us. They gave up their right to the voice of God. You know, the voice would have brought instruction. It's like the voice came to Moses. But they gave up their right. And therefore, they gave it only to Moses. You be the one to hear it, and you be the one to come tell us. Well, this is the perfect lesson that we want to call out in today's lesson. The looking for a prophetic word from someone else rather than you hearing it directly. This is what we see here. Very tragic. And today, people are still doing the same thing. You know, people go from room to room. We see these prophetic labels. You say, well, prophetic word. And so we go there to hear it. We go to the next one, prophetic word. We've got a word to release, you know, and so forth. Well, so we go to hear it. And, but do we spend time to understand the voice and to hear it for ourselves? But this is what God wanted. He wanted to speak to those people directly. You know, just like he spoke to Adam and so forth. But they said, no. It is sufficient for us that somebody else, a surrogate, will be a prophet unto us. That's how Moses became a prophet. You know. So, well, you know, you go here and you come tell it to us. We can't hear it directly ourselves. I mean, isn't that the most tragic thing that you ever read in this Bible? For me, it is. How someone would, you know, decline God's invitation to hear, come into a direct relationship with him. How they would decline it. Well, the reason also was because their ways were not perfect before the Lord. See, when your ways are not perfect, your heart is not right, any phenomena or appearance of God's presence will actually drive people away instead of pull them in, you know, drive them away because they thought, well, God's going to kill us. I mean, well, you know, yeah, because that's their heart condemning them. However, all these things that God will show is really, you know, he shows his presence, you know, the thunderings and lightnings and all these things is really to draw you in. So that you can hear his voice. Let's read the exchange between Moses and the Lord on Mount Horeb. Moses was run away from Egypt. You know, got to Midian, got involved there and so forth. And, you know, actually got married to, you know, Jethro's daughter. Jethro was a priest of Midian. So let's read Exodus chapter 3. You know, say now, Moses kept the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And it came to pass on one day that he came to this place called the Mountain of God. Even to Horeb. Why did they call it Mountain of God? Perhaps the Midian used to see a glowing fire or something. Nobody really wanted to go too close to it. What's up there? Nobody knew. But Moses got close enough. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And when he looked, the bush was on fire. But the bush was not consumed. Normally, when a bush or brush or something is burning, you will see that it starts crumbling. You know, and the fire spreading everywhere and consuming everything. In this particular case, it wasn't like that. This fire was just in one place. It wasn't consuming anything. And the bush wasn't being consumed, but the fire was burning. And Moses said, my goodness, you know, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burnt. Now, the whole time that God was you know, were told appearing to him. Well, he didn't know at first what it was, but he saw the sight, but he decided to check it out. Now, the sight drew him in. And he didn't run away and say, ah, I saw something terrible today, and just run off. He didn't. There was something in him that said, look, I got to check this out. And God waited until he turned aside to check it out. Now, there are many ways by which God may draw us in or try to draw us in. And what is our response going to be? If God shows us phenomena, we see the cloven tongues of fire, we see the glory cloud, we see this and that, we see thunders and lightnings, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, we see some things here and there. You know, what is the intent? Well, to draw you in. Draw us in to hear his voice. That's the way that he's going to guide and lead the elect. That's how he did it from the beginning. So Adam spoke to him. And so he must speak to us. But look at Moses. It wasn't until he drew near that the Lord then spoke to him. So if he hadn't drawn near, well, maybe at best, he would have gone away and reported that he saw a burning bush. That would have been the best. He would not have heard what it was that the Lord wanted to speak to him. You know, so I dare say that ultimately we must hear his voice one-on-one. Remember, we were a month or more ago, we were talking about, you know, this journey to the most holy place. And that one-on-one, once you get into that most holy place, well, this is all part of that journey. So one-on-one, it's not just someone else telling it to you. It's not just the signs and wonders. It's not just seeing the burning bush and the pillar of fire and all of that. You know, you got to get beyond all that and hear his voice. There's a story here, a good story, another good one in 1 Kings chapter 19. There was this man called Elijah, the Tishbite. It was a kind of a rustic figure like that. You know, he was a rough man, but he was someone that stood before the Lord. And he, you know his story, you know, how he went up against the prophets of Baal and all of that. And the, you know, contest fire on Carmel and how he did all that and then destroyed the prophets, the false prophets, and how Jezebel swore that you did that, God do to me so and more if your life be not at one of those by the end of today or tomorrow or whatever. Swore to take his head off. And so Elijah began to run for his life. And he got to one place. This is all in 1 Kings 19. He got to one place. And he said, he wished that he would die. He was, you know, frustrated. I mean, I've done all these things. Why are they trying to take away my... Nobody's trying to take away your life. It's just one woman. You know, this tells you the human nature too, you know. I mean, he did all that, went up against 400 people, did all that, and then you run away from one single woman? Are you kidding me? But Elijah is going to have an experience here in a little bit where he's not running from anyone anymore, you know. And but before that, he wished that he could die. He just said, look, my life is not worth anything. I'm not better than my father's. I mean, depression even started to set in. I mean, I've done all these things, but look at it. They don't listen to me. They're trying to take away my life. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, and he began to say, well, you know, Lord, I mean, I've done all these things. And, you know, they seek to kill me. And I am left. And nobody else but me. But everybody turned their backs against you. And now they even want to kill me. And the Lord said to him, well, you're not alone. I've got me 7,000 knees that I haven't bowed yet to Baal. But he didn't understand it, you know. So before he went there, though, you know, he had an experience with the angel of the Lord. This was a man that was used to, you know, supernatural things happening around him, fire coming down, licking up water and all that. The angel of the Lord, you know, feeding him, ravens feeding him. I mean, all kinds of things. This man was somebody else. But at this particular time, we see, you know, the state of his mind. He was frustrated and he needed, you know, he said, well, I just want to die. I'm done. You know, but the Lord said, nobody's dying today. Well, they seek my life to take it. I'm not any better than my fathers, he said. And he laid down like juniper tree, we're told in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19. You know, and then the angel came and baked him a meal. Like this man had all kinds of experiences. And then the angel came and baked him another meal and said, look, the strength, the journey that's ahead of you is so hard and long. They gave him a meal twice. Go in the strength of it. So he went and came and went to a cave, we're told in verse 9. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now, for all those prophets, that was their greatest asset, that the word of the Lord would come to them. You know, that was the best thing they had. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord understood what he was going through. He said, look, go over there and stand forth before the mount. You know, and so he went. And he stood first before the mount. Now, the Lord's going to give him an experience. And this experience tells us, it shows us a lesson here. So, in verse 11, he said, he went forth and stood upon the mount, like the Lord told him. And behold, the Lord passed by. Hallelujah. And when he did, my goodness, there was a great and strong wind that wrecked the mountains. The Lord rent the mountains. I mean, it was enough to scare the man to death, you know, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord and everything. And, but we're told that the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, broke the rocks and shattered the ground and everything. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Here are all the elements here, the wind, you know, earthquake, even fire. Then after the earthquake, there was a fire. Now, this Elijah was used to the fire of the Lord, fire on Carmel, you remember. Let the fire fall. Let there be God that answered by fire. Let him be God. He's used to all these things. But this time around, the fire, the wind was there, the earthquake was there, the shattering of rocks and everything, but the Lord was not in it. Neither was the Lord in the earthquake. Neither was the Lord in the fire. But then after that, there was a still, small voice. Now, all of that, just to introduce that still, small voice, I mean, there was the wind, there was the earthquake, there was the fire, there was all these phenomena happening around it, but the Lord wasn't in it. And then, so this is a lesson that God is trying to show us. And it wasn't the wind that was going to give him his final instructions. It wasn't the earthquake, neither was it the fire. It was going to be the voice. And it wasn't this time around going to be a thunderous voice. It was going to be a small, still voice. And how do you hear that small, still voice in the midst of the shattering of rocks, earthquakes and things and noise and so on? Well, you know, that's our lesson here today. How do you hear that still, small voice? And it was so when Elijah heard that still, small voice that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He knew it too. He understood that voice. He went out and stood at the entering of the gate of the cave, and the Lord spoke to him again. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he repeated the same thing. Now the still small voice is going to speak to him and give him instructions. It's a final set of instructions on what he would do and so on. Now, I won't go into the rest of all the stories about what God actually instructed him to do, but the point was that there were a lot of things here. There was the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and the still small voice. Though God was not in the first three, but he was in the last one. Now, so this tells us that that voice is important, and sometimes it's not the loudest thing. Sometimes it could be a still small voice. Well, you got to be still to hear it. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, let's put it this way. Be still that you may hear his voice. You know, praise the Lord. How can you hear it when there is noise all around? You know, back in the olden days, we used to have the analog radios. You have to dial something to try to find a station, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, there might be a lot of static until you find the right station. Well, today they've got the digital frequencies and the digital scans, and it's easier for you to just digitally scan and pinpoint the exact frequency, you know, but when you are not rightly tuned, you hear a lot of static, you know, tune that radio. I still have, you know, some radios that can be tuned by the dial, and you hear a lot of static when you're trying to tune to the channel. You're scanning it, there's a lot of static. Then when you get to a channel that's, you know, a real life channel, then you may begin to hear something, but if you are not in the right place, you won't hear the right words. You just hear a lot of scratching and static and so on. You know, now, you know, but until you get there, you won't hear what's being said. Whereas the whole time something was being said. There was a broadcast going on. You're just the one not hearing it because you're not tuned in correctly. Well, it's the same thing with the voice of the Lord. You know, until you tune in, you won't hear it. And so there must be some tuning out and tuning in. So that's what we're going to talk about in this series. Tuning out the distractions and tuning in to hear the voice of the Lord. And sometimes some of those distractions may be religious distractions. I mean, they may look really good, but the Lord said, "Keep silence before me, O islands." Huh? Isaiah 41 and verse 1. "And let the people renew their strength." Well, that's how you do it. You know, in the silence is where you renew your strength. That's where the Lord's coming. "Let them come near," you know, and so forth. So when we get into that most holy place, it's 100% concentration on him. Distractions are gone. All the negative things are gone. Sin consciousness is gone. Need consciousness is gone. Self-righteousness is gone. And we are just right there with him and nothing else. You know, now the voice that gives eternal life, and his voice is in his word, now begin to report directly to us the mind of God. This voice is in his word. He will never say anything contrary to that word. That's why Isaiah told us, and I've told it many times throughout these lessons, "To the law and to the testimony." Isaiah 8 and 20. If the voice does not speak according to that word, get away from it. Just like Jesus said, they will get away from the voice of strangers. They will flee from him. They don't know his voice. Get away from it. They don't speak according to the word, you know. So this word is the final arbiter. And if whatever voice we're listening to is not speaking according to that word, then better get away from it. But what are you listening to? That's the question. Are you listening to his voice or the voice of strangers? There are, it may seem, Paul said, many kinds of voices in the world. There are voices that will make you afraid. Voices that will try to bring you into bondage. That's right. Bondage of corruption again. Voices that will try to make you slaves. Voices that will try to make you submit to a man rather than submit to God. It's a lot of voices. Your own voices might be there too. The voice of unbelief. And the one that is, you know, really, I called it very subtle, is the voice of reason. When the Lord said this, and I said, well, you know, my body is getting old. You know, I can't really have pleasure again. Why don't you go into my maid? Well, that's a voice of reason. It can be subtle. It's a lot of voices that can be out there. And then, of course, there is the voice of faith that will figure out what the Lord is saying. It's right in there. Stay right with the word. You know, but how do you know which one? I mean, when there are so many voices, how do you know which one is the voice of the Lord? Well, we need training. We see that Samuel had to be trained. Now, this is a preliminary lesson leading us to really where we need to be. But I got to clear the weeds first. So, which is what we've been really doing in this series. This man, young Samuel, he couldn't, you know, he didn't know the voice of God. You know, but even though he was in the temple night and day, he still didn't know the voice. He was an altar boy, but he did not know the Lord. That's what the Bible said. So just growing up in church, or going to church all the time, you know, and being around fellowship and things like that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that the individual knows the Lord for themselves. We see that was the case with Samuel. He was with the man of God in the house of God. You know, he served. He helped to arrange the service and different things, what a typical altar boy will do. But he did not know the Lord, we were told. And the voice of the Lord was not made known to him. You know, and it turned out that when the Lord called him, he didn't even know it was the Lord that was calling him. And he ran to Eli, thinking it was Eli, and so on and so forth, you know, multiple times. You know, and here's what he says. Now, Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7, did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him, even though he was in the house of the Lord, sleeping there even night and day, helping with the priest and so on, the things of service and so on. Yet he did not know the Lord. And so when the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord called out to him, he didn't know it was the Lord. So he ran to Eli. See? So that's the thing. We've got to decipher the voice of the Lord among all the voices, and we got to know when it is the voice of the Lord. Otherwise, you might run in the wrong direction. This man went in the wrong direction, but thank God that Eli was a man that was able to help him. After about three times of that happening, Samuel coming and saying, did you call me? I said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. He ran again after a few more minutes, did same thing happen. By the time it happened three times, Eli figures out that the Lord must be calling this young man. So Eli says to him, well, all right, here's what you're going to do. The next time you hear that voice, you know, respond in such and such a manner. So the man taught him and helped him. And they say, well, next time you hear him, just say, Lord, speak, for thy servant is listening, and so on. You know, and then so Samuel went and laid down again. The whole time, the Lord was patient, though. He would call Samuel. Samuel would run off to someplace else. The Lord didn't get angry because the Lord knew that Samuel did not know his voice until someone helped him. We pray that this series will help us to figure it out. But once you figure it out, that's it. There's no going back. There was no going back with Samuel, once he figured it out. You know, in fact, from the moment he figured it out, the Bible says Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. You can read that in verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And from that point on, the Lord will reveal himself to Samuel in different ways and speak to him. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel. You know, but first, he didn't know the word of the Lord at all. And the Lord began to shape this man's life with the word of God. And Jesus said also that, you know, our following of him will be shaped by the fact that we follow and know his voice. And there's a promise that God gives to us in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, God gives us this promise. You know, sometimes we are there in a crossroads, or we don't even know what to do and so on. Well, the Lord said he will speak directly to you and you will hear it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. It said, the Lord said, you will hear a word behind you, right behind your ears. I tell you, this is the way. Walk in it. When you have a decision to be made, either you turn to the right or you turn to the left. The Lord said, well, I'll be right there telling you. You know, did he not say the same thing in Isaiah chapter 30, Psalm 32 and verse 8? Did not the Lord say that, you know, I will instruct you in the way that you should go? You know, and how is he going to instruct you? It's by his word. I will even guide you with my eye, but that instruction comes by his word. It can come, the word can, of the Lord can come to us in multiple ways. In the olden days, the visions and the dreams came to the prophets. God said it himself, that a prophet among you, the Lord will speak to him in dreams and in visions. I will reveal my word to him that way. Well, the word of the Lord may come that way. We've seen other ways that the word of the Lord came by the still small voice. You know, we may see the word of the Lord. And today we have the benefit. Some of those prophets back in the day, they didn't have all of that. Maybe they had the Torah. Maybe some of them had the scrolls of an earlier prophet or whatever. But we've got a whole compilation today that we call the Bible. We have a lot of things that God has said. And God moved on many, many men in the past, you know, centuries ago to compile these things. And these were not the only writings that anybody ever wrote that claimed that God spoke to them, but they found that these writings were consistent and sufficient, and God allowed them to be put in what we call the canon of the Bible. And so we have them. And so God can speak to us through that as well. God can even speak to us through, you know, what I call circumstances. You know, things may happen that God will use to speak to us. I'm going to speak more on these examples tomorrow by the grace of God. How God can speak to us through his written word. How he can speak to us through his spoken voice. How he can speak to us through, even situations, you know, and so on and so forth. The best one, though, is for us to hear that still small voice. My sheep hear my voice. God can speak to you through the spirit of prophecy, maybe through you yourself prophesying, or God confirming through somebody else what he already told you. We covered that in these lessons before. And so on and so forth. We've also covered that, you know, we should not, you know, try to live our life to be guided by, you know, prophetic utterances from someone else. We need to be guided one-on-one by the Lord ourselves. We saw the story of the prophet Agabus and Paul. And despite the thus saith the Lord from Agabus, Paul chose to ignore it. You know, I don't care. I'm ready to go and die, if that be the case. And he wasn't going to let fear or what someone else was telling him that they saw, you know, distract him from what he knew he wanted to do from the Lord based on what the Lord already told him. Now, what about Hezekiah and Isaiah? In Isaiah chapter 38, we read the story of Hezekiah being sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah coming to him and said, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you will die and you will not recover of this sickness." So make sure you set your house in order, put all things in order, because you're going to die. You know, and I mean, that was a death sentence from the mouth of a noted prophet. But Hezekiah did not allow that to control his life. You know, either by the fear or by the naked negativism or whatever. He chose to do something about that. You know, and so we've covered that. We did, you know, that we don't let what someone else says control your moving with God. We should be led by the Spirit of God ourselves. You know, did not the scripture tell us that even in the New Testament, you know, that it is important for us to have the Spirit of Christ? Yeah. So let's read from verses 11 through about 14 of Romans chapter 8. "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit which dwelleth in you. Now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh or the body, then we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, how is the Spirit of God going to do that leading? No, definitely not by fear. "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." You know, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." "For the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." Praise God. So, as many as are led. This leading is so important. It describes the characteristic of knowing the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit. Jesus said it a different way. "Well, that's how you know my sheep. They follow me. When I lead them out, they follow behind me. And they don't follow strangers." But it's that voice. That leading is that voice. You know, that's the most important part. We'll cover some other ways that the Lord speaks to us. You know, some people call certain things, you know, what we call the still small voice. Some people call it a silent voice, the intuition, or this and that. You know, I've tried to tell people on this platform not to say something said to me, but for us to recognize the Spirit of God that is in us. And when he's leading us, let's recognize the Spirit of God rather than just say something. And Jesus promised us the leading of the Holy Spirit. Before he left, he spoke to his disciples quite a bit, introducing the role the Holy Spirit will play, you know, when the Holy Spirit came. But something he said about the Holy Spirit, many things which we covered in these lessons already, but something he said about the importance of his leaving, you know, he said, "Look, It is expedient for you, John 16 and verse 7, that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Because there were dispensations. And Christ received the Holy Spirit not by measure. When he was here, at the fullness of the Holy Spirit, according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in John chapter 3, verse 34, we are told that he whom God has sent into the world spoke the words of God, for God gave it him not the spirit by measure. Jesus did not get a percentage of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead was upon him bodily, 100%. There was nothing to share. Praise the Lord. You know, so Jesus said, look, you know, if I don't go, you can't get this Holy Spirit. But right now it's wrapped up in this body. But when I go, hallelujah, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. How is he going to do it? Well, that's what we're going to have to find out. We'll find out some more tomorrow on, you know, walking in the prophetic. This is a summary of what I call walking in the prophetic, because the prophet and the prophetic realm is where we are hearing directly from God. The prophet is hearing from God. They are able to hear the word of God. They're also able to speak it. But most importantly, they hear. The Lord said, if there's a prophet among you, I will speak. I will reveal myself to him in dreams and visions. So that's, you know, the prophet can hear. You know, and we, for us to walk in the prophetic and not to be saying we're looking for some Moses that will hear it on our behalf, that's where this lesson is headed. Did you know the danger that they ran into of not hearing from God directly? That's what led to the golden calf. Since they didn't want to hear from God directly, and since they were, looking for Moses to speak to them, well, when Moses was gone, and then Moses was only gone, ladies and gentlemen, for 40 days. But because these people were not used to hearing from God directly themselves, the Bible says in Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, they gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods, which will go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. Now, if they would have known how to be led by God themselves, they would never have been in this situation. Now, the medium that heard from God and reported it to them was now gone. And for the last 40 days, he's been gone. So now they cannot hear from God. They never did hear from God directly, but at least they had Moses. But now Moses has been gone 40 days. So it's like, look, we don't know what next. What are we going to do next? We don't know what happened to this Moses. Well, you go to the Lord yourself. No. He said, make us gods. So the golden calf thing came out of their whole business of not wanting to hear from God themselves. Dangerous place to be. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. The summary of today's lesson, as I wrap it up today, is that hearing the voice of God is so critical. That's how God spoke to man from the beginning, or communicated with the man directly with his voice. And at the end, Jesus said, that's the same way it's going to be. My sheep will once again hear my voice directly. And that voice is going to lead them to eternal life, just like that voice in the beginning gave them dominion. You know, this voice at the end will also lead them back to eternal life, put them back in the place where they should be. But they will need to hear that voice. They will need to discern it, recognize it, and follow it. And they must distinguish it from all other voices. There are many voices that will be competing for for your attention. We call them distractions. And it's not just physical voices. It's other things. We're going to talk tomorrow about the voice of distractions. The voice of, you know, this and that, you know, in the story that Jesus told of the parable of the sower, the one that fell among thorns. There was a lot of chaos of this world that choked the world out of them. We're going to talk about the distractions that choke the world and different things. There's all kinds of voices. Some are physical voices that we must discern. In the middle of that, try to see which one is God's. Some are voice of even situations around us. Voice of fear that coming from the tempest that's rising up around you, you know, and you see the wind being boisterous and all of that. When you see the wind coming into the boat, when you know, when you're afraid, you know, so many things can bring fear. And yet God can use situations to talk to us. We'll find out more about that tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that's our lesson today. But stay with us. We're not done yet with this series. We've laid the foundation now for why it is important for us to hear from God directly. And why Jesus, and how Jesus said that certain people cannot hear his voice because they don't understand his speech. But they are not of God. And if we are of God, then we will hear his voice. So we've laid that foundation today. Knowing therefore then that we are of God and knowing that we must hear from God and be led by the Spirit of God to be called sons of God, then we know that it is our right to hear from God. You know, it's not, you know, it's not a privilege necessarily. You know, it is a distinguishing characteristic that we will hear from God. That's what he said, because you are my sheep. So it's not something like, oh, maybe you will, maybe you will not. No, you will hear from God. And we must hear from God. And we need to hear from God. Well, what else are we going to do? We don't hear from him. But we got to be trained in it. So I'm going to pray over the room and call it a lesson for today. And come back and visit with us again tomorrow to hear the rest of it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that in the midst of all the voices that are competing for our attention, there is yet that still small voice. And we need to figure out how to understand it and discern it and identify it among all the other things that are competing for our attention, all the other distractions. But I thank you, Lord, because you have promised us that my sheep know my voice. And that's a characteristic of the sheep. We know it. And we will know it even better and better. I pray that through this series, the rest of it that's coming, you will help each of us to get to the point that we know his voice. Sometimes people say, I know that I know. Well, we will know his voice. Because that's what he promised us. Not only when we know it, we will understand it. We will follow it. And we will not follow the voice of strangers. But we don't know the voice of strangers. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to know the voice of God. And to know the lookalikes. The one that looks so real, it's almost like the voice, but not exactly. I'll talk about that also tomorrow. But I pray, Lord, that you help us with these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give you the glory and praise that when it's all said and done, we are that sheep that we hear his voice, that we follow him, and that we receive eternal life. Ah! Glory to God. And we thank you that we are the sheep that are hearing the voice of this Spirit and being led by him every day. Therefore, we are called sons of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. We have prayed. Amen and amen.